because we know that there are several highly selective and potent TRK inhibitors. So we have data from two TRK inhibitors, larotrectinib, which was recently published in the New England Journal of Medicine. And in that study, this was a drug that was explored in any TRK-positive tumor. So they actually enrolled 17 different tumor types, noting that the most common were salivary gland tumors, or sarcoma, but non-small cell lung cancer patients also had NTRK rearrangements. In that study, they saw a very impressive response rate. So response rate was over 70%. And it did look like, really, across various histologies, including among pediatric patients, very high response rates to larotrectinib. And so that agent has received breakthrough therapy designation by the FDA. Similarly, entrectinib, which is another TRK inhibitor that also happens to hit ALK and ROS1, is another agent, another TRK inhibitor that has also shown promising activity among fusion and TRK fusions. And that agent has also received breakthrough therapy designation.
So what actually happened to this patient in terms of where was the tumor? What was the symptomatology when he started? What happened to it? And what about side effects?
Yeah, great question. So this patient was quite symptomatic in terms of neoplasm-related pain, from pain in the chest wall, as well as cough and shortness of breath. As we've seen with other targeted therapies, this patient had a rapid improvement in clinical symptoms when they were treated with a TRK inhibitor, one of these investigational inhibitors, and really had a dramatic improvement. And that improvement really persisted for 20 months. Patient remained on therapy before, unfortunately, progressing.
And he had CNS disease also?
He had CNS disease as well.
And that responded?
And that responded, right.
What happened after he progressed?
Yeah, so after progression, we're still trying to understand mechanisms of resistance to TRK inhibitors. And so trying to apply the same infrastructure, the same thought processes that we've learned from other targeted therapies, and apply that to TRK. So we know a little bit about mechanisms of resistance to TRK inhibitors. There have been several resistance mutations that have been described. One, not surprisingly, in the gatekeeper residue, which we've seen pretty much across the board, EGFR, ALK, RET, gatekeeper mutations can be observed. And another mutation that's observed in the solvent front. Solvent front mutations in a kinase have been seen in both ALK and ROS1. So it seems like this is very much becoming very similar to the ALK-ROS1 story, in that you apply selective pressure with a targeted therapy, patients can benefit, but you know, resistance can emerge.
You know, I was just kind of curious because it kind of is concerning to see that there was a patient who got the fourth line therapy and hadn't had multiplex or NGS testing. I kind of assumed everybody was either doing it up front or shortly thereafter. At what point do you think, at a minimum, do you need to look for something like this? How about if I say anybody with metastatic non-squamous cancer, regardless of smoking status, is somebody who needs multiplex testing?
I agree. And that's my standard of care.